I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone, and welcome to Dice Roll, the queerest Pathfinder podcast on the planet, where you answer hard questions like, can you date just one head of a two-headed baddie, or does it have to always be both?
I mean, if they want to share.
Yeah, but like, what if they...
You could just date one.
I mean, I got two hands, baby girl.
But what if... What happens if you're really not into the personality of one of them?
Well, then you don't date that one.
Yeah.
But that's going to get they're different real people. Awkward real.
No, yeah, I don't think so. As long as you communicate properly, everything will be okay.
They have the one body, man.
Well, do you have to bang?
Yeah, but like,
must everything be about sex, you fucking cretin?
I know. I'm saying if you want to go for a romantic dinner, you're dragging fucking Jeff with you. Like, you're there for Samantha.
Well, okay,
she's
listen.
Sexy.
So I think that they're already in on that deal because they already share a body with this person. So they like what's that's for them to communicate with each other, right?
Yeah. But what about your comfort? You don't like it's just me and you and me and your friend Steve. Steve.
If you're not comfortable, don't do it. Don't do it. Just straight up, don't do it. If you don't like it, don't do it.
But what? Can you make the head go away?
You're being contrarian.
Like committing a murder?
All is fair in love and war. Sun Tzu said that.
It's not. He didn't.
Girl.
He didn't say that.
Would we like to just play some Pathfinder?
Yeah.
Okay.
When we last left our adventurers in the Abomination Vaults, the Fogfen few met in the Drunken Dragon to discuss their plans. They briefly talked to the leader of the Otray Club, Yanyiz Mera, and she told them that the boat that they found belonged to a now missing group of thieves, and she asked you to go find where they might have gone. Meanwhile, when you went to speak with Doriana Memhines, Ulrich spoke to her and found that she has psychic powers of some sort, ones that she does not fully understand herself. But she's a bad feeling that bad things are coming to Otari. The three of you regrouped and made your way back into the dungeon, trying to seek out what exactly is the source of the awful light that shone upon Otari. When the Fogfen few returned into the vaults, they went deeper into the cathedral portion that Ulrich had uncovered earlier. They found themselves standing in front of a strange shrine to a god that they do not recognize. But as they approached the altar, they heard the creaking of bones and a glowing of strange light, and they turned to find two awful skeletons pulling themselves up and shining with an internal light that makes you feel sick to your stomachs.
And everyone, I'd like to ask, you ready to hop into character?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Strange light shines in through the awful stained glass windows at the back of this shrine. Ulrich, Silk, and Fiore, the three of you turn as these skeletal monsters shamble forth, glowing with an awful light. the three of you get into a position as these monsters crawl up towards you, preparing to strangle the lives from you, or as they reach for their weapons to cut you to pieces. I want to ask quickly before we hop into combat, how's everyone doing right now? You turn around and there's these genuinely quite frightening monsters coming towards you. What's up?
Silk screams. He screams.
I think Fiori is more startled by the scream because it was so sudden. He's like, ah! But I think he's pretty, like, he puts on the determined face. Like, he's got his scimitar and he's like, I can handle this.
Ulrich, I think, is looking between, like, the altar and the stained glass window and the undead and going, oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god.
What have I got myself into? Well, everyone, you'll be glad to know that what you've gotten yourselves into is some sort of combat encounter. And everyone, I want you all to roll initiative, please.
I thought we were just going to take turns dancing.
No, that's actually not how this game works. Hey, hey, Silk.
Yeah?
Take a look at what you rolled.
Is that a nat 20?
That's a nat 20, mon frère.
Mon frère, I was so fucking scared I shit myself when I killed them all.
Silk turns around, shrieks, and pulls a gun.
No, literally.
Wow.
That's just canon.
That, damn.
Oh my god.
Holy shit.
That's a second nat 20 for Ulrich.
Ayo.
What?
Ayo.
Okay. Begin encounter. Top of the order, Ulrich Revra, how do you go so fast and so quick? Like, what prompts you to do this? Silk, we know, is screaming. Why are you jumping out like this?
So we have established that Ulrich has, like, very good hearing.
Yeah.
I think it's a combination of, like, the scream and him kind of snapping himself out of, like, the what do I do, Lord, kind of situation when whatever is down there, because there's something, like, shambling towards us, right?
Yeah, there's skeletons, blood.
Okay, so, just the sound of, like, one of the skeletons, like, bones moving as it kind of shambles towards us, and Ulrich just immediate reflexes and the response of danger and shoots the arrow.
Because you got a natural 20 on your initiative, the classic dice roll home rule, you get 4 actions this turn. What are you gonna do, bud?
Since he already had his bow and arrow out, he is going to make a first strike.
Okay.
Ooh, that was a 13.
A 13 is unfortunately a miss. You shoot at the skeleton, but it kind of, like, goes in one rib and out the other, and it's still shambling towards you. And space is tight. This thing is clobbering towards you. You don't have a great chance to aim. You have 3 actions left. The hell do you do?
Swap to the battle loot.
You swap your weapon, putting the longbow out and pulling out your battle loot, getting ready to smash this guy in the face. Okay. What now? 2 actions.
2 actions is going to be... one shall be Courageous Anthem.
Your fingers strum over the strings of the lute, and magical music empowers all of you. What kind of music are you playing? What's the vibe with this one?
So you know how in video games there's like a spectrum of battle music, but this one in particular, I think, is like, you are in danger, but you are not going to back down.
A real Courageous Anthem. I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Ulrich, as that music flows through you all, you drop a +1 on everyone's attack rolls and saves against fear checks.
Woohoo!
Which is fantastic, I'm sure. And you have 1 action left, Ulrich. What do you do now?
Then I think Ulrich is then going to cast Guidance on Silk.
Okay, what do you say to Silk as you put a hand to his shoulder?
These things are dusty, decrepit, and everything that you do not stand for. They can be taken down. Hopefully quite easily.
Well, Silk, it is your turn now, and you know what? You do have four actions. What the hell do you do?
I fucking Freddy freak it. I am 100% shooting this one right here to the left. Or no, to their right, I guess it would be. They're right, our left. I'm gonna Hand of the Apprentice.
Okay. Shoot your arcane bullet.
Ooh. I heard the noise. I was tapped out, but I heard the noise.
Oh, that's a 20. Oh, that's a 29. Oh.
Well, buddy, you'll be glad to know that that is a critical hit.
Dang. Dang.
Roll me that damage.
26.
Holy shit, yeah, you shoot the hell out of this skeleton, blasting into its skull and knocking like a huge fragment of its like forehead to pieces.
Nice.
And Silk, it's still going, unfortunately.
Oh my
that's
god.
That's the bad part. It's still coming towards you. You shoot
Fantastic.
Your cool arcane gun at this thing, and it stumbles back before it slurks forward. And it looks at you, and you see inside its skull just an awful glow. And it opens its mouth, and it hisses, and it says... And Silk, you got three actions left, buddy. What do you do?
Oh, get away, little freak. Silk is going to cast Hydraulic Push.
Okay. How does this look when you cast it?
I like to think that these are all just like different flavored bullets, and they all just come out a different way. So the way that this one comes out is it's just a giant fucking wall of energy that comes out from the gun. It's not even like a bullet leaves it. It's like he shoots it, and there is just a very fast moving force that comes from it. I think it's blue. I think it's a deep blue.
Very, very nice. Okay.
And I use a hero point.
You shot quite wide, I'm afraid.
It's a 22 now.
Roll me that damage into this thing.
That's going to be 11 damage, and it's going to be pushed back 5 feet.
Okay. Well, Ritz, this thing is standing next to a wall, so it won't take any fall damage if it's only 5 feet. Again, another home rule. Force movement into a wall does damage equal to fall damage. But fall damage only starts after 5 feet, so you don't. He doesn't do any damage. However,
yeah.
Ritz, as Silk shoots this torrent of water out of their gun, you smash him with bludgeoning damage. And this is a skeleton. They're not very good with bludgeoning damage. In fact, one might say that they are weak to it.
Oh.
Can you believe it?
So, Silk, as you shoot your gun... You blast that skeleton to smithereens into the wall, destroying it. Except, that's weird.
Huh?
The skeleton shatters to pieces, and yet something is left behind.
Oh.
You're kidding.
The glow. And the token that I had on the map has now changed to show... A strange blue glowing light. And this glowing light, even though the skeleton has fallen to pieces, it shrieks and it says... This glowing light almost looks like a skull made out of, like, weird ambient light. A trick of the eye. And it is shimmering as it emerges from the bones, and it hisses angrily. And Silk, do you have any actions left?
It was one action to do kind of the apprentice, and it was two actions to do hydraulic push, so I have one action left.
That's right. Okay, what do you do?
The glass shield, baby.
Okay, Silk, you raise your starlight shield, preparing yourself to knock back whatever the fuck is coming. And that is your turn. And Silk, I've got bad news. That light... It kind of zips around. And when it moves, it doesn't move normally. It's not like it flows from one place to the other. It's almost like a UFO zipping up, down, right, left, up. but it is not flying towards you. It is flying away. It is seems to be retreating. And it's going to use its first action to move 25 feet, then its second action to move another 25 feet. And it stops by the skeleton.
You're fucking kidding me.
Of the thief that you guys met on the way in.
Oh, shit.
I hate you.
And it zips into the skeleton. And you know what? That skeleton gets up.
Uh-oh. Does it get up?
It has used an ability of some sort. You don't know what sort, but you can tell that it seems to have healed itself somehow. And is now, that new skeleton is slowly tromping towards you guys from the back, from the entrance into the cathedral. Uh-oh. The other entity, you guys don't know what the hell it is going to surge forward towards you, Ulrich. It lets out a hissing shriek as it comes for you and claws into your shoulder, Ulrich.
Okay.
Oh, no!
Wait. Oh, no, it is far. It is. I can't reach it.
You can still reduce Ulrich's damage from this.
I can't?
And step.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I can. Wait.
You don't have to do damage to it. You can just reduce the damage Ulrich takes.
Oh.
He's not within reach. You can still protect Ulrich by rushing forward and, like... I'll let you decide how you are able to pull him out of harm's way and, like, reduce that damage. How does this look, Fiore?
I think that maybe he sees it happening, and he takes a 5-foot step, like, diagonally down, so he's, like, in front of Silk and diagonal to Ulrich, and I think he, like...
Mm-hmm.
I think he sees, like, a piece of, like a stone, like, it's rubble, and I think he goes to kick it to try and, like, knock the sword so it doesn't do as much damage. Like, they lose the grip a little bit, and it only does, as like, a little bit of damage.
Okay, so as its claw is coming down into Ulrich, Fiore, you kick a rock into its arm, and kind of, yeah, you make it flinch a little bit. So, Ulrich, you will have 5 resistance against this attack. Because he rolled a nat 20, he is going to unfortunately get a critical hit card.
Yeah.
And this is going to be... That's going to be 10 damage.
Okay.
Times 2, 20 damage. Minus 5, 15 damage. So, it still claws into you. And unfortunately, Ulrich, the thing that you roll is a muscle wound. Mm-hmm. It claws into your shoulder real bad, and it cuts deep. You are enfeebled too until you are healed, because this thing tore into you badly.
Okay.
You know, a wail of pain as this strange light piloting the skeleton lets out a... And it is now going to try attack you again.
Okay.
With its second attack, it is now going to try bite into your neck. And unfortunately, that is going to be another hit. That's a 21.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to be...
Max damage.
12 more damage.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay. Jesus.
How is Ulrich doing?
Not good at all. He is bleeding.
Yeah, this thing is like... It is hooked into you. The skeleton is biting into your neck. Its claws are raking through your flesh. You are hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good day. And hey, real fast, I just want to say, how much HP do you have left? How much HP do you have exactly left, Ulrich Revra?
Bro.
5.
Hey, if Yori had not kicked that rock, you would be down.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit, you, Fiore.
Oh my.
Thank you, Fiore. Speaking of thank you, Fiore, it's your turn, Fiore. Your buddy is in a lot of pain. And there's a terrible... You thought it was a skeleton? Is it not a skeleton? You don't know.
Fiore is going to, with his... It takes one action to do lay on hands, right?
That's right.
He's going to use his first action to lay on hands Ulrich because they are in immediate danger, and I simply will do that. Thank you. 12. You can take that 12 healing.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank you.
And then on top of that, Ulrich, you have a plus 2 to your AC for one round.
Thank God.
Fiori, how does this look, the effect?
I think it looks like, you know those the halos and like the cool halos in like Catholic, like Christian art where it's like the sun behind a guy?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like that.
Okay. And Ulrich, I think maybe there's like a golden shimmer that will sometimes pass over your body. The shield of fate, the light of Sarenrae, is keeping you protected. So your AC is jacked up for a moment.
Oh, thank you.
And because of your healing, your muscle wound heals, and you are no longer enfeebled. Thank Christ, right?
I need you to know that when I hover over him, it says, when I hover over Ulrich, it says, seen better days.
Yeah, the like the damage things in this fucking weird thing are so funny. It's like at death's door, yeah. Not feeling good.
I love it.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah.
God.
Fiori is gonna move from where he was in front of Silk to on the line behind the skeleton guy, so that Ulrich is flanking for him.
Okay, so he will now be off guard against both of you as you jump behind him and get ready to kind of catch him in the back.
And then I'm going to attack.
Okay.
Oh, there's nothing I love more than only needing to use one action to attack. I'm going to use my hero point immediately.
Good
Thank
call.
You.
That was a critical miss, unfortunately.
I'm going to roll again.
Oh, you're fucking with me.
The two noises just immediately, one after the other. That's beautiful. It's perfect.
That is going to be a critical hit.
Teehee.
Roll me that damage, Fiore. And remember that you have the vitalizing rune on your sword.
I do.
Which is going to really mess up this unholy creature.
I do.
18
damage, please.
Oh my God, what? What?
What?
Is that for realsies? Oh my God, sorry, one second. Hey, I didn't notice about vitalizing. So your weapon is the vitalizing rune, right?
Yeah.
A vitalizing weapon pulses with vital energy, dealing an extra 1d6 persistent vitality damage undead,
which this thing is.
And on a critical hit, it is also enfeebled until the end of your next turn.
Teehee!
Okay.
So you're not just doing an extra 1d6 damage, you're doing 1d6 damage every turn.
Teehee!
So that's 18 damage. And it is now taking persistent vital damage. Holy shit, okay. It's not looking great, let's be real. Is that your turn, Fiore?
Yep.
Okay. Ulrich, how are you feeling, bud?
Better from the healing.
This thing was mauling you up until a second ago, and then Fiore slipped behind it and, like, smoked it. It's still going, but it's turning away now, and it isn't paying attention to you. What? What's up, man?
I'm gonna take the opportunity to whack it with the battle loot. This is always gonna make me laugh.
Buy a nickel for every time Ulrich bed a skeleton over the head with a loot. I have 2 nickels.
Okay. So, then, 24.
24 is a fucking hit for sure, man.
Cool.
Roll me that damage.
That's 2 damage from the battle loot.
Wait, this is bludgeoning, right?
Yes, it's bludgeoning.
He takes an extra 7 he takes an extra 5 damage. So that's 7 damage total. But also, because you are a warrior muse bard, do recall that you smack exactly in time to your music, which continues your courageous anthem.
That's true.
And you have two actions left, Ulrich. What now?
Try again.
Okay, go for it.
15.
15 is just a hit because, Ulrich, you are flanking with Fiore. It's turning now to look back at you again, and then you smack him a second time. Roll me that damage.
4 damage.
Plus
the extra 5.
Yeah, that's going to be 9 damage to it. It's not looking great, being honest. Ulrich, you reckon if you land one last hit on it, you should be able to kill it. But also, are you really going to attack 3 times?
I'm considering it.
Don't fall for Derry's scheme.
It is a -3. It is a -3, though.
Then you all you need to roll is an 18. Come on,
oh
man.
Yeah,
God.
All I need to roll,
Derry.
Huh?
Come on.
Derry.
You can do it. You can do it.
Dude, I've got this sick flask of Amontadalo. I gotta share with you.
Joke's on you. I like Edgar Allan Poe. I fucking know that story by heart. Well, I know what happens.
Yes, they share a lovely flask of Amontadalo.
Yeah, and someone gets buried alive.
It's fine. All he had to do was roll an 18. You're mm-hmm. not good in that schmuck.
Don't fall for his fucking schemes.
One more bludgeoning strike will kill it, even if you roll minimum damage.
My rolls have been so bad, though.
Yeah, that means you rolled a good one. That's how dice work.
That's not how dice work.
Studies show that all gamblers give up right before they hit the big one.
You,
oh,
I'm like that, but with Minecraft.
You know what, Derry? Just this once. Just this once. Just
Yay.
Because I'm the one that keeps fucking your bosses so hard.
Yay! Give me blood. Give me blood.
What are you? Yeah, but what are you gonna do when she rolls an 18?
Well, it's not gonna be an 18. It's actually gonna be a 12. It's a 9.
It's not a crit fail, which I was really hoping for.
You're
no, such a dick.
That's my one bit of spite going out the door.
Ulrich, you do strike twice in good succession, but the last one, unfortunately, the skill blocks your attack, kind of pushing your wrist out of the way as you swing a turn time.
Okay.
Silk, it's your turn now. You got 3 actions, and bad stuff is happening. There is an awful skeleton over there. There's an awful skeleton that's just claimed the corpse of that thief, which isn't great. Being honest, you don't love that. What do you do? Both of them look pretty badly beat up, I will say.
You know what? Because Silk is so worried, having seen Ulrich and his shit push him, I'm gonna use up all my first ranks and use Force Barrage.
Oh, okay. Go for it. You're going to unleash a fucking silo of magic blasts?
Yes. It's going to be 1 into the one that Fury's fucking up, and then 2 into the one that got his new hot bod. 1 for him. That's going to be 4 damage to him.
Okay. It takes that damage, and you can see that the skeleton is crumbling to pieces. And once again, you see the same thing that happened before, where the skeleton falls apart, but left floating where it was is that weird skull-shaped light. And now shoot those other missiles into the other guy far, far down to the south, clambering towards you all.
7.
Very good. Okay, those that second barrage shoots through the air and arcs into this thief skeleton, who is already being pummeled to pieces by you. Woof.
Woof.
Is that your turn?
That's it, baby.
Okay. The first of these strange light creatures, the one to the south, the one that's currently inside a skeleton, it's going to use all 3 of its actions to do something very scary.
Oh, God.
Its jaw goes slack, and its eyes start to glow. And then it shoots a fucking beam out. And it's going to catch Silk and Ulrich. as it shoots out a massive cone that's going to catch both of you in this awful ghostly light. I need both of you to make me a fortitude save, please, against this thing's death light ability.
Can I do something about that?
Unfortunately not, Fiore.
Well, good luck.
Fucking God, what's with all the rolls today? You know what? I have another hero point. I had three starting this fucking...
Yeah, you've been hoarding those hero points over the sessions.
Yep.
Oh, but hero points are supposed to be removed at the start of a session. Nope. You gotta keep them like a little dragon hoarding stuff.
To me, I feel like it's like I don't think that you can add on the daily one, but if you do cool things and get one, I think that you should be able to save them if you don't have another chance to need to do a cool thing.
Exactly. That is a 23, right, Lou?
That's 23, yeah.
23 is a success, and that is... What did you roll, Silk?
I rolled a 25.
Okay. Well, you both are going to take 1d6 void damage as it attacks your soul directly, and you both take 1 damage. Whoops.
Ouchie.
Well, hey, if you'd... I'll be real fast. If you guys had failed that roll, this would have been bad. You're very lucky you succeeded. It only took 1 damage.
Wow.
It's the other of the weird light's turn. This one is going to shriek out and kind of twitch around again. Up, left, right, diagonal, up, down, right, you know? And it seems to be almost frantically looking around before it settles its eyes on you, Ulrich.
Huh?
And it is going to plunge its fangs into you.
What? This thing got fangs?
It does. It's got ghost fangs. That's a 21 to hit.
Okay, that hits.
Okay, well, let's see if those ghost fangs bite. That is going to be...
Oh, shit. Try me. I'm going to use Retributive Strike.
Okay, well... See if you hit him.
Oh, man.
Well, unfortunately, that is going to be a critical fail, Fiore, as you try go for it. Unfortunately, you accidentally fling your weapon out of your hand. I think maybe as your sword is about to connect, you feel like a ghostly shiver go through you. And you are going to throw your sword 25 feet north, I'm afraid. So it clangs into the wall.
That is fine.
However, Ulrich, you are only going to take 2 damage instead of 7. Thanks, Fiore.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, at least it does the stuff that I wanted it to.
It is then going to try bite you again. It seems to be honing in on you. And you don't know why. That's going to be another 23 to hit. That's another hit, my friend.
Son of a bit. Okay.
It's like really trying to maul you. That is an additional 12 damage. And with his last action, almost in a panic, it continues to bite into you.
Fucking God.
And that is unfortunately going to be a critical miss.
Ugh.
Which means that it is going to... Oh, it seems to be really running out of energy somehow. It is slowed too until the end of its next turn. But that doesn't really matter because as its turn ends, Fiore, even though your sword is nowhere near you, you see your holy light from your sword powering through this weird light. And it lets out one final shriek of...
Oh, shit.
Before it is turned to dust by the power of sunlight.
Oh my God.
And now, Fiore, it is your turn. So your sword is way up there, and this creature is way down there. You could go fetch your sword, but you might not have time to go get the thing down there. You might have to improvise and come up with other ways to destroy it.
Fiore is going to rush the guy.
Okay.
And then use Lay on Hands on him.
Okay. So you rush forward, no sword in hand. You charge up to this teeth skeleton and you pull up your hands, which are now glowing with the light of Saren Ray. How... You have to make me an attack roll, right?
Actually... It's a save.
Or, oh, this thing has to make a save?
Yeah, I think so, apparently. I clicked it, and that's what it says.
Okay, well, that is going to be a fail. That's a 10. So roll me that damage, and on top of that, he's going to have a -2 to his AC for one turn.
Okay.
Which, as that same shimmer of light is defeating him.
8.
Fiore, as you push your hands into this thing, the skeleton's body is destroyed, and it is left instead with 1 HP as a shimmering light. And like I said, that shimmering light is now tinted yellow as its AC is dropped considerably.
Mm-hmm.
And is that your turn?
Yes.
Okay. Ulrich, it is your turn. You are a fair bit away from it, but this thing is, like, instead of flickering around the way it has been, it seems to have almost frozen in place. What the hell do you do now?
Okay. How far away?
You can easily swap to your bow if you need to shoot him.
I was just checking a spell real fast.
No problem.
Yeah, I think Ulrich actually might stay where he is
okay.
And just shoot the fuck out of this thing.
Well, I mean, it's being held in place by holy light, so you've got a clear shot.
Yeah, that's a 22.
A 22 is going to be a hit, even if this thing weren't frozen in place. Ulrich, roll me that damage as you shoot the hell out of this light.
6 damage.
Ulrich, how do you do this?
They've had enough. They've had enough of this. And I think with the considerable distance from him and the light, he just... It's pretty quick to anybody else's eyes, but he does take, like, pretty much... It's pretty much a half a second between him pulling back his arrow and it dying.
Holy shit. Ulrich, you shoot into it. It lets out one final wail of... before the light is dissipated. And the combat is over.
Dice Will Roll will return after these messages.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
We now return to Dice Will Roll.
Well, Ulrich is right now, I think, fallen on his knees and casting Soothe on himself.
Still kind of drops down squat next to him. It's like, are you okay? You look awful.
Hey.
Scene. Much better.
If you keep healing yourself, give me, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Is he, like, brings out bandages?
Fiore is going to pray to Saren Ray to get his focus points back.
Okay. Would you like to roll a medicine check? Or a nature check? I believe you have natural medicine, right?
I have natural medicine, so okay. Yeah.
Go for it. Give it a shot. You're not expert in nature, are you?
I am.
Okay, well, in that case, you can try for a higher DC with a higher output of healing.
Ooh. I will go for DC 20 with plus 10 healing.
Okay, go for it.
Got it. 21.
Okay. And at the end of this, Fiore, as Ulrich is bandaging his wounds, Fiore, you say a prayer over him and heal him for an additional 12 HP, bring them back up to full HP. I will also point out that Silk and Fiore took basically no damage the entire fight. Meanwhile, Ulrich is fucking mauled by a skull that you still don't understand. What did you guys say in these 10 minutes as you were like tinking with each other?
Oops. That was nasty, wasn't it?
It was...
You're telling me.
It was weird.
What were those things? It almost looked as if they were trying to find something to possess.
They were definitely undead.
It was the closest thing to death, so it definitely went off to me.
Hey, take a hero point for figuring out their mechanics. Real nice.
Oh, okay.
You figured out exactly why they are hounding you like that.
Yeah.
They want your bones.
That makes sense.
And I was so sure I killed it at first.
It was really weird.
Well, if the skeleton was acting as a skeleton does, you would have killed it, but that light.
And Fury's like, we're in a church too. Or some sort of chapel.
Would you guys like to roll a recall knowledge check to figure out what's up with that?
Sure. Yes.
Silk?
Hmm?
You know for certain what these things are. You've read all about them before.
Oh, okay.
Ghosts?
I love the way you said that.
You know,
Silk has like a very like concerned face as he's like squatted down next to Ulrich, and he like hits his fist against the palm of his hands, and he's like, "Oh, they're ghosts."
Yeah.
You think just ghosts though?
Ulrich, you don't know.
Yeah, point, I suppose. Could be.
Fiore. Fiore, as silly as that sounds, you actually think Silk isn't necessarily that far off. It's just what it's a ghost of that is unusual. Because you have heard very old fairy tales about these.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that was a corpse light.
A corpse light?
A corpse light is the ghost of a will-o-wisp.
Why would that be here?
Oh.
So a will-o-wisp is, they are these elemental creatures that kind of exist on the edges of society. They lure people deep into the mires or into places of danger so that they will either perish or become extremely afraid, both of which feed the will-o-wisps. But if a will-o-wisp starves to death, it might rise as a cold, blue, glowing sphere of spongy wetness, a corpse light. A corpse light instinctively seeks out a host to dwell within, as its physical form quickly deteriorates if not hidden within a dead creature.
Well, yes, but it's not... Oh, you died, and it's a ghost of a will-o-wisp. And then I think he continues to explain the rest of it.
Hmm.
You don't believe that, Silk?
Semantics, and he, like, brushes his hand around.
All right, that does sound actually pretty right to you.
Explains a lot.
He's like, okay, now, who has the undead killing rune?
Is it the paladin?
Yes.
For a second, I thought it could have been the bard or the wizard, but I wasn't sure.
You never know. But I don't understand why it was here.
Perhaps now that they're gone, we could look around and gather more pleasing information.
That is true.
Would you like to roll me a perception check?
Okay.
Yeah. Still kind of looks at Ulrich and is like,
are you okay to look around?
Oh, I'm fine. Healing plus bandages, it made me feel better, even if so.
Tough boy.
He's not looking at Silk.
As you all look around, Silk, you are disgusted by how many cobwebs surround this place.
Ugh.
Surely the rest of the campaign will have less cobwebs.
Please.
Ulrich, you skirt around the altar.
Okay.
And you find something hidden beneath the altar.
Oh. Oh.
Loot!
Oh, hell yeah.
Things.
Yes!
Inside the shrine compartment.
Ulrich finds loot.
God. Take a hero point. Take a hero
Yay!
Point. Inside the shrine, you find two scrolls rolled up and not used in some time.
Huh.
And they're strange scrolls. A scroll of sleep and a scroll of grim tendrils.
Oh my.
Sleep, obviously, puts someone to sleep. Grim Tendrils summons several tentacles, which will pull at the life force of creatures that are caught in it.
Oh my god.
So obviously a scroll can be used as a one-time thing, or it can be used to add to a spell book or to learn it like a repertoire.
Okay.
So, for example, Silk, you could easily add these to your spell book. Ulrich, you could spend some time studying them and learning how to use them.
Okay.
They're pretty nifty spells. A little concerning to find in a church.
Yeah.
Ulrich looks at these. Looks at the stained glass.
Giant hand with star fingers.
He squints and keeps looking around for anything that would pertain... any indication that Grim Tendrils is appropriate to have in the altar.
You get the feeling that maybe this isn't a particularly nice deity.
No. But Ulrich gets up from where he's crouching and holds up the two scrolls. I found these.
Oh.
Do you think this is... Oh. Do you think either of these would be useful to you, Silk?
Lovely. Let me have a look.
Grim Tendrils and Sleep.
I think he is a little bit creeped out by Grim Tendrils.
Well, I could certainly find a use for any spell.
Okay.
Do you take out your spell book? Tell us about your spell book. Come on, man. Tell us about your spell book.
Silk takes out the Astronomicon.
What? That name goes so hard.
Right?
So, tell... What does the Astronomicon look like? This is your spell book. This is where you keep your notes on magic. And it's also supposed to be where you write your notes for your thesis, but who knows what that's about? The School of Universal Theory is eclectic.
This is the gaudiest book you've ever seen in your life. The cover is like plush, dusty blue velvet with silver and gold trimmings that like hang off of the sides of it. You don't know how this thing even fucking opens. What, like, where it opens from? It's it's ridiculous looking. And it's got Witch Helm scrawled across the front of it in gold and embroidery.
Whoa. Oh, it's just really fancy.
Oh, do you like?
Yeah, it's really fancy.
I made it myself.
That's you made that.
Really cool.
Of course, and he literally does a spin around and he's like, I make everything I wear. Anyways, and he puts those scrolls directly into some pages in the book and kind of squishes them.
Okay. When you have a little more time, you can transcribe them. I will say, as this was happening, Fiori, you went and checked out that skeleton that you fucking holy blasted earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that this seems to have been a thief who maybe got by those corpse lights.
Mm.
And you can see on his person, there are several items. You see, he had a nice rapier, a dagger, a couple of daggers even. But more importantly, he had a healing potion, a dark vision elixir, and a silver ring, which looks like it could have been worth a nice amount of money.
Ooh, okay.
Do you take any of it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Fiore is against, like, when somebody is found there. Does he look like he's, like, just a random thief, or is he, like...
Yeah, it looks like he's been dead for quite some time.
Okay. Fiore's like, this guy's loot.
Oh, yes. He had a magical item on him, I remember earlier.
I just want to make sure that we at least put the rest of his body to rest, maybe.
Fair enough.
Like, I don't see anything wrong with using things that people who've passed away aren't using, but I'm not leaving him on the floor here.
Fair point. You don't have to.
No trouble there.
Silk goes through his shit.
He's got a healing potion.
Mm-hmm. He does have a healing potion. But he was left... He was dead by a door that in the wall. A secret door that seems to be actually, Yore, slightly open.
Ooh.
It seems to be leading down a secret passage.
Okay. I think that they should take the stuff and then sell it later if they don't want to use it.
Mm-hmm. Who wants the healing potion? Who wants the dark vision elixir?
Ulrich, take the healing potion.
Ulrich will probably take the healing potion.
That's real, though.
I don't have dark vision. I have low light vision. Right? No.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I have low light vision.
You want the dark vision elixir?
I'll snatch it.
Okay. There you go. You've cleared out this room. Now what? There's a half-open secret door in front of you.
Detect magic?
You're not getting anything super magic from beyond there, no.
Nothing I can sense in there. Care to take a peek for the group? You alright?
Yeah, I could do that.
You step ahead. How do you open the... Because it leads into a very small chamber, and then there's another secret door ahead of you, which seems to open into something else.
What Fiore's going to do is he's going to use one hand to have his shield, like, in front of him, so that he can still see, but he is covering most of the vitals.
Mm-hmm. So you're using the raise a shield expiration action. Very good.
And then I think he's going to open the door with his other hand and go through.
Okay. And you peek true. And Fiore, you find yourself looking into a sanctum of some kind. Huh. It's a triangular room that might once have seemed comfortable, but after years of rain and exposure to the elements through the two arrow slits in the northwestern wall, the room's divan, armoire, and tapestries have fallen to decay. This looks like it was once the lounge of someone very important.
Fiore's like, one sec, I'm gonna scout ahead. And then he's gonna make a perception check.
Okay, yeah, you see, under the divan, which I have no idea what that is. What's a divan?
Divan.
Oh, it's like a sofa or couch. Oh, it's, oh, you know, like those, like, we call them like psychiatry chairs, you know the ones? It's like a long...
Oh, you mean like the draw me like one of your French girls type ones?
Yeah.
It's a chase.
Yeah. It's one of those things. Point is, Fiore, as you creep in and make a look around, and Silk and Ulrich, you two look at each other nervously as Fiore enters, you find a rusted ring of keys.
Ooh.
That might be useful later.
Keys.
Actually, I think they're just decoration.
Bro. Yeah, they're just set dressing.
Oh, so true.
Okay. You picking up those keys?
Yes.
They land in your inventory with a satisfying clink. You know what I mean?
Clunk.
Fiori, the other two are poking their heads in, I can see. What do you say to them?
Fiori looks at them and he's like, I think it's safe. I don't see any immediate traps or anything. I found keys.
Oh. Ooh. Perfect. Those should be useful.
Very much so.
Let's get to searching.
Are you going to go through the south door?
Yeah, I think so. Fiori is still holding his shield up.
Fuck it.
Okay. What about the rest of you? How are you two exploring? Because Fiori has his shield raised. And here I've asked you all for a exploration activity.
I'll do the mechanically how we're searching, but just know that Silk tries so hard with all of his soul, body, and mind not to touch any cobwebs.
And I think Ulrich is just looking around, trying to see if there are any other hidden things or other clues as to where the thieves are looking for are. I guess just keeping an eye open for anything.
Okay, so you're searching. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. So you will automatically roll perception every time you enter a room.
Okay.
And anytime you pass through a space in general.
Okay.
So you guys are kind of slowly making your way forward. And Fiore, you're standing at the front of the group. Do you move into the room to the south?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you push the door open. And you move into another room, back down to the south. The ceiling here has collapsed in the southwest corner of the room. The walls bear several shelves, but the books and papers once kept here have rotted to ruin long ago, due to the exposure to the elements, as has the wooden desk and the chair in an alcove to the northeast. Now, as you're moving in, Ulrich, you immediately spot something.
Whee, what do I spot?
I want everyone else to make a perception check as well, but Ulrich, you specifically immediately do see something.
Okay.
And it's the desk. The desk here, beautiful desk, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoever owned this place was very well off. One of the drawers has kind of fallen open, and you can see inside, let's go, baby, it's more loot! This time in the form of tree vials.
Hell yeah.
Oh.
A comprehension elixir, a skeptic's elixir, and an elixir of life. Elixir of life obviously heals you. A comprehension elixir lets you read any language as if it were common.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
And a skeptic's elixir allows you to see true lies, giving you a +1 to your perception checks and DCs to notice falsehoods. Whether they're spoken or written deceit.
Huh.
So if you ever really need to see, can I trust someone? Just pop a quick slurp of this.
Don't like that. Didn't like that terminology.
Okay.
Who wants what?
We're all very useful. For very different reasons.
Oh, I can hold on to them.
Fiori doesn't want anything.
I think Ulrich does, like, present them to the others and go, does anyone need anything from here?
I mean, they're all useful, but I don't need anything.
Silk?
I do want that comprehension elixir. It could be very useful.
All right. Here you go.
Thank you.
And I shall hold on to the others.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Thank you, pretty desk.
And thanks, pretty desk.
Silk, as you're looking around, though, Silk, I think it's you who sees it then.
Ooh.
There's a secret door. Another one. In the wall. You narrow your eyes a little bit as you step forward. A rotating shelf. It's like something out of an old story. You pull a book back and the shelf slides open and you find yourself staring down a flight of stairs.
Well,
you knew that they were around, but you stare down them. Call of the Abyss pulls at you and they go down quite deep. What do you guys do?
I think Silk has one hand on the frame of the door very gently, and he's almost like completely stepped into the room where the stairs are, and he's kind of like looking down it. He looks at Fiore and he looks at Ulrich.
Consider me entirely perplexed.
Why?
I want to go down these stairs.
He looks down the stairs.
They go deep. It is dark. And Fiore, even as your eyes kind of like pierce through the darkness, it is so deep and dark, Fiore. Cannot see what waits on the other side. Is this the way that the Mitflits came true? Is this how they came to the surface? Beyond here, is this where the mushroom-eyed men lie?
Huh. I mean, I already wanted to go deeper, but do we want to go down today?
Well, we discovered most of the area. I think we only have, a few more rooms out to the west side?
That's true.
I think it would be a good idea to go down. But do we still want to explore the rest of this area first?
Well,
it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, plus maybe if things get too difficult and we have to come back, then we'll still have something else to do that isn't dangerous.
True. So, should we go?
Yeah.
Okay.
To the depths.
Oh, yeah.
And you all are making your way down the stairs into darkness. The door closes behind you all, and you make your way deeper into the Abomination Vaults themselves. Let's bring you all now level 2 of the dungeon. And let me open up the next map. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Oh my. I'm so scared. Hold me.
I fucking hold you, brother.
Brother, I grab your balls.
Grab your balls.
Man.
Oh. God, bro.
Bro.
You let go of my nuds.
No, you let go of my nuts.
No, you.
You let go of my nuts, brother.
Okay.
There is nothing like ruining Derry's day.
So I will say, as you guys make your way deeper, one thing becomes very immediately clear.
Mm-hmm.
It is dark as fuck down here. Oh my god. Even Fiore, like I said, you have dark vision. It is so dark, Fiore, that all color leeches from your sight. You are only seeing it black and white right now.
Fiore's like, I can see the dark. It's all, there's no color anymore.
Ulrich and Silk, it is so dark that you cannot even see the others. You are like, your hands crawling alongside the walls. You guys are gonna have to do something about this.
I think Fiora's like, okay, oh, stop. Okay, hold on. I'm lighting a torch. And Fiore lights a torch.
Good call. Gods.
Fiore, you light a torch. Huh. And, you find yourselves now in a very narrow walkway. But you can see not too far ahead, there is a door.
Open that damn door.
I'm gonna open the door.
Okay, well, Fiore, your hands are full. You've got a shield in one hand and a sword, torch in the other.
I think that you don't understand what holding a shield is like.
Okay, do you kind of just like, yeah, you're good?
I have worked in food service for 5 years. You can open a door with things in your hands.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, yeah. I've worked in food service for 5 years. I've used a shield before.
Funnily enough, the tray that you hold cups on, you could use as a shield.
Okay, well,
it's
you
pretty,
open it.
Freaking sturdy, that thing.
You do open it. And what you see beyond, it seems to be an abandoned guard post. Tree plane wooden chairs sit along the east wall of this otherwise empty room. That's it. It's a small enough room, maybe like 10 feet by 10 feet. There's tree chairs, and that's it. As soon as you enter, Ulrich, you make me a perception check.
Okay.
You're seeking, remember?
I am
you
seeking.
Normally normally you'd have just looked around and be like, weird, and kept moving. But because you're seeking, I'm like, ah, make me that perception check, mon frère. Okay. Critical success. Ulrich. That middle chair is suspicious. You know why it's suspicious?
Why is it suspicious?
Three of the legs are normal, but one of the legs seems to be built into the floor. Almost like you're supposed to twist it like a lever. Like you open some sort of secret door. We're on a fucking roll right now with secret doors.
Whoa. I think Ulrich approaches the middle chair and goes, okay, so both of you, hit me up. But and then he twists the chair.
What the? Oh.
Whoa.
Oh, I love dungeons.
Is that normal?
Not really. Not when a chair's built into the ground.
Oh. As soon as you twist that chair, a door grinds open.
Oh, hello there. Whoa. It's a bit destroyed back here.
Yeah, so let's discuss this place real fast. Because, you walk out, and you find yourselves in what seems to be a processional?
A processional?
Like a long corridor made for religious purposes.
Hmm.
This long 10-foot-wide hallway has a vaulted ceiling arching to a dozen feet high. Three broken metal brackets hang from the ceiling. One to the south, one to the north, and one in the middle. Although what the frames once held is unclear. The floor is strewn with pieces of rotten wood and twisted metal. To the north, pale green light shimmers around a closed door's frame.
Ah, okay.
Is everything okay?
Anything of note?
Well, there's a door on the other side with light coming from it.
Oh.
It
goes.
Yeah. There's fewer doorways as well.
A lot of them.
Yup. So how should we go about this?
There's many, many doors. But like I said, a door way to the north is shedding weird green light. Like, it is. You can see darkness all around. Nothing but darkness, but then at the very top of this corridor, a door which is like green light glowing from beneath it.
Of all the doors, that's the most suspicious one.
I will also say, you can hear the sound of movement and something alive in these dungeons.
Hmm. Suddenly, I don't want to be down here anymore.
There's scrap metal everywhere. And these arches above made of, like, steel have, like, eroded.
Mm.
And also, Fiora, you've been in dungeons before. You like dungeons.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few minor dungeons around Otari, usually, like, one floor deep.
Yeah.
They're never like this. This has so much in it.
Here's, like, I think Fiora puts, like he tilts his head, and he's like, this is really weird. I've been in the dungeons around Otari. I don't know if you know this, but I like exploration.
Huh.
But they're usually only like a floor deep, maybe a little more, you know, a little bit more dug out. And I've fought, you know, some bad guys. This is huge. Like, this is unreasonably huge.
Do you think it goes deeper?
If it's this big and it's the second floor, yeah, I do.
Hold on.
And it's Silk already got that weird light that was...
Silk pulls out his Astronomicon and opens to a blank page, and I think that he's gonna start scribbling down a map of some sort.
Oh, okay. All right. I will give you a... I'll give you a bonus to survival checks to navigate this place.
Okay.
Pretty good. And take a hero point for being clever. You'll need it.
Thanks, Pookie.
Bruh. Don't
so, like I said, there are doors everywhere. Like, on this corridor alone, from where you're standing, you can see two tree doors. Two of those doors are pretty close to you. But then, again, up to the north, there's that glowing door where you can see, like, light crackling through the bricks.
Why don't we get the worst out of the way and quiet what needs to be quieted?
Yeah, sure. That door's gonna bother me for the entire time we're here if we don't look at it.
I'll be in front, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Sound of scampering nearby.
Huh.
All right, Fiore, lead the way.
Which door is the glowing one?
Way up it here to the north.
All the way up.
Is it this
yep.
one?
Mm-hmm.
All the way up.
Okay, then Fiore is leading them.
I will say, Silk, as you are getting closer, you are getting magic from that place.
Ooh, there's something in there.
That makes sense. It is glowing green.
As you get to the top of the corridor, you immediately are getting weird vibes from it, yes. There are even more doors. You get to the top of that corner, it makes an L turn, and you see 1, 2, 3, 4 more doors, like, just lining the walls. Oh, goodness gracious.
This looks like drawing as they walk.
Fiore takes note of the other doors that are that way. And he's still holding his shield up just in case. And he's like, okay, quiet. And I think he tries to open the door to peek through.
Okay. Well, open the door.
What
it's
the fuck?
It's a turlet.
Oh.
It's a fucking
turlet. It's a turlet.
No.
This 10-foot square washroom features an iron bathing tub to the north and a commode to the southwest. The northern wall glows and shimmers with rippling ribbons of eerie green light. And before you can react to the spooky turlet, something actually quite unsettling happens. All three of you see those green ribbons of energy on the walls slither, and they turn into a word. And then another word, several words. I was Otari. And then those ribbons slide down the wall and slither across the floor like a serpent beneath your feet. And they seem to be moving somewhere.
Ugh. Follow it?
Yeah, come with me.
Okay.
Yeah, it is like slithering along slowly. How are you guys doing as you follow this weird light?
Fiore is like so worried. He's so worried.
What the hell did that mean?
I can't overstate how concerned he is.
I think Ulrich is both thinking about the words and trying to figure out what this light even is in the first place.
Well, follow it. Keep going. Go, go, go. It's leading you along these winding paths, and then it leads you into another big room. A ruined table and several destroyed chairs lie in a heap in the middle of this room, along with several large bones. Those bones begin to tremble.
Yeah, here we go.
And you see The line seems to be dancing around a room. Almost like it's... You don't know what it's doing. It's just kind of moving erratically around the room.
Is it, like, in the same pattern, or is it just moving erratically around here?
Oh, erratically. Just, like, slithering all over the floor, and you don't know what it's doing. But you're not particularly worried about that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You're worried about the bones.
Are the bones getting out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Why not?
Oh, fuck's sake.
Unfortunately, not into a regular skeleton. Because regular skeletons aren't 9 feet tall.
Oh, yeah, normal.
They aren't covered in metal armor, and they don't have the skull of a giant bull.
Oh, why not?
What I'm saying is most skeletons aren't those of a minotaur.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
As this line dances circles around it, backing away from it and then lunging forward, this skeleton creaks up, looks down at you all, and lets out an awful bellowing roar before it charges at you all, ready to cut you all down to size. This episode of Dice Will Roll would not have been possible without the support of our patrons. A Potato, Derpy Gamer, Quinlan Boss, Princess Alivy, Emily is Gay, Dexton, Meowmai, Abigail Wallet, Knight the Werewolf Teacher, Ashley, Actually a Bot, Violet, Seraphine, Kyle Damon, Sol Gris Lobo, Phoebe Jeebies, Daisy Gilliam, Lux Rexus, Better Than Stormcrow, Sam Stryker, Tony Saunders, Mita, Arave, Belmonts, Pause for Effect, should I pause? Ferric Falcon, Luis Loza, Ares, Alexander Criswell, Meg Cohen, Skyly, Generally Tricked, Transgirl Trish, Baal Punyan, Johnny the Catman Extraordinaire, Matthew Wilson Krasnovich, Tillen Shark, Glitch HD, Jace Snooks, Jonathan Love, G Barbera, Luke, Clown, Simon Strange, Seth, Kira, Lichelope, Gizmo, Cass, Fable McElduff, Ava, Rem T. Bright, Lonesome Chunk, Steph, Sean C., Natashley Lumley, Rhiannon C., Ellie, Jenna Mitchell, Kane Kendrick, Sky Evangeline, Triceratops, Anna Maria, Jordan, Emily Laderna, John de Bookwater, SS66 Seeker, and Dame Valerie de Turd. If you'd like to see what you can get for helping us keep it rolling, check out patreon.com/dicerroll today.
Would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.